Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Four in a row on the road, followed by a lackluster win at home. Good teams find a way to win on games when they're not their best. Good evening and welcome to another episode of Flames Unfiltered. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube, coming live on April 13th. Episode 122 of the show as the regular season drags on as the dog days keep going. Golf last week, yeah, big Masters fan. I love that tournament. And so I spent a lot of my weekend last weekend watching the Masters. Big lead, kind of spoiled it. I like closer finishes, but great winner in Scottie Scheffler. Couldn't happen to a better guy. Tiger Woods in the tournament. Didn't fare all that well, but brought a ton of excitement to it, especially on Thursday and Friday. Last week's California trip for the Flames. Oh, my God. Absolutely killed me. I don't know why. I used to love the California trip. I'd get the kids to bed. I'd stay up late. Listen to the whole post-game show, everything. Oh, my God. This time, I was dying. I couldn't stay awake. I stayed awake. I watched every game. But, man, I couldn't even stay awake for the post-game last night. I fell asleep listening to it. Just, I don't know. Maybe I'm getting old, huh? When was the last time that we saw a Flames player get into a fight? I was just thinking about that last night. When's the last time somebody threw the gloves down? Not that that matters. It's just been a long time, hasn't it? Does that mean they're not playing tough and physical? No, I don't think so, but it's been a long time. It's got me thinking. I don't remember. I don't remember the last fight. 9 games left. It's been a long season. We had the COVID break, and we had everything. It seemed like we started late, too. And so it's been a long grind, man. It's been a really, really long grind. Fans complaining about intensity level of players. I'm like, come on. Like, we're in the dog days of the year, man. We're figuring ways to win when we're not playing good. Thumbs up. Perfect. Things are good. Gotta be happy with this team right now, don't we? I'm awaiting playoff success. I'm nervous, though. I love this feeling. Keep telling myself every day, just love this. Be excited. This is why we do this. This is... just love this. Just be excited. Tell myself that every day. On today's episode, we are going to talk about the 4 games, the California swing, and then we'll dive into some serious Flames talk. We're going to talk about resting players. Is it a good idea, or is it not a good idea to rest players? What would you do? I'll give you what I would do. We'll see how that goes. And then Kyle Lewis, you can check him out on Flames Twitter. He's all over there. Great, great guy. Joins the show. We're going to talk about missing persons. Some of the Flames aren't producing points. Where are they at? Are they missing? And we'll talk about a number of numerous other Flames topics as the team heads to the playoffs. Lots of Flames news. We're going to talk about that. News from the Pacific. An interesting Facebook poll. And then we're going to wrap with a preview of this week's games. It's time for another edition of Flames Unfiltered. Alright, Flames fans, let's talk about the game since we last talked last week. Seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? It really does. Last Wednesday night, April 6th, Calgary and Anaheim. Another good game for the Flames. Markstrom with the win. Michael Stone with the game winner. How do you like that? Flames score 1 in the first, 1 in the second, 2 in the third. Beat these Anaheim Ducks. Never used to do that in Anaheim, ever. But we do it 4-6 in a row in Anaheim. I get 6 in a row. Shots 28-28. All in all, good game for the Flames. The next night, travel up to San Jose. dreaded matchup with the Sharks, who had beaten the Flames every single time this year. Crappy team, they beat us every time. Flames win this one 4-2, four goals again, kind of a theme. Outshoot the Sharks 41-33. Vladar gets the start, gets his 10th win of the year. That's a milestone win. I mark that down as a key to a successful Flames season this year. Elias Lindholm with the game winner. Some lineup changes for Calgary in this game. DeBranson and Zadorov come out. Mackey and Valimaki come in. I thought Mackey looked really good. Valimaki, a little shaky still. God, he still has that little bit of hesitation sometimes, and I don't understand it. I like a lot of aspects of his game, but he has a slight hesitation that often gets him into trouble in the National Hockey League. Up front, Rosisco was out. Richie was in. Yarncrook still out with illness. Shillington was still out day-to-day. And, yeah, I said that earlier. Vladar gets the win. Saturday, Calgary heads into Seattle for a early game on Hockey Night in Canada. Kind of a weird time to start. But Markstrom gets the goal in net, wins it his 34th. Trevor Lewis with the game-winning goal. Calgary did not play good. The 4-1 score flattered them. There was an empty netter. Markstrom was really, really good, I thought. Hanifin had 4 assists and 22-plus minutes of ice time. He's been rock solid lately on the back end, just really, really good. A game that I didn't think the Flames were bad, but I didn't think the Flames were great either. But struggled through the tough ones and got 2 points out of it. Three nights later, in Calgary, Seattle comes down for the home-and-home back-to-back. And, Tuesday night battle. Calgary wins it 5-3, outshoots Seattle 31-22 in a game that I thought Calgary was not good at all. Not good at all. Matthew Tkachuk, his second career hat trick, which I thought he had more than two, but this is his second career hat trick, gets his 37th of the season. He started the Flames scoring. Seattle got on the board first. Ryan Donato, Tkachuk answered just 2 minutes later with his 35th. And then in the second, it was all Seattle. As Rask scored and Larson scored, things did not look good. I didn't think Markstrom looked great. I didn't think anybody looked good. Everybody looked like they had freaking 100-pound weights tied to their legs. They just looked slow. I had a gut feeling, though. Vladar came in the third, and about 5 minutes into the third, I thought, why do I feel like something's going to happen here? Matthew Tkachuk scores on the power play. It is 3-2, and I'm like, all right, here we go. Mangiapane scores 2 minutes later on a really, really nice, gritty goal for Mangiapane. Good to see him get back on the score chart with his 31st. And then at the 14:10 mark, the Flames go ahead when Noah Hanifin scores on the power play. Stone and Backlund with the assist. Beautiful rocket one-timer. Great pass from Stone right on the tape and bang right into the back of the net. Tkachuk ends it with an empty netter. His 37th of the year, like we talked about, and a hat trick. Vladar in the third period to get the win. And, boy, he made a key stop on a breakaway right away. It wasn't like the time he came in the Dallas game where Calgary, like, took control in the third period and they came back and won that one. This was more where Calgary wasn't, it was back and forth, and Vladar had to make some key saves, but the Flames were a much better team in the third period and come out with 2 points. And it is the, first time, or second time this year, that the Flames have come from behind in the third period. The Dallas was the other one. And it was one of those nights where the theme all night after the game was good teams find a win on bad nights. And this was a prime example of the Flames not being good, but figuring out a way to get 2 points when, their C or C minus game was definitely in tow last night. Time to talk a little bit about how we would manage this team down the stretch. 9 games to go in a short period of time, and then it's going to be playoff time. And how are we going to handle playoff time? And is resting players the right thing to do or not the right thing to do? Now, it's been a hot topic this week. It's really been talked a lot about in Calgary, and I've thought a lot about it this week. I've also kind of always went on the motto that it is a coach's job to field the best lineup possible each and every night. I've always felt that way. So it makes it a struggle for me to determine if resting players is the right decision or not resting players is the right decision. I'm sure Sutter struggles with it too. He did comment on it, and his comment was that he doesn't rest healthy players. And then I thought about, okay, putting out the best lineup. So if I was going to put out the best lineup for our game tomorrow night against the Vegas Golden Knights, who would I put? Well, how would I put it? And here's my best lineup. I would have Lindholm centering Gaudreau Kachuk, big shocker, Backlund centering Toffoli Mangiapane, Yarncroke centering Coleman Dubé, and then I would have Ryzicka centering Lewis and Lucic. I just feel so much more comfortable with him at center playing. I know it's fourth line, but our fourth line gets minutes. I feel much better with that. Hanifin Anderson is a pairing. Shillington Tanev, Sidorov, Gabranson. I like having Richie as a sub to come in. Mackey and Stone on the back end, I think, are going to be critical. Now, the real hot topic button in Calgary has been, what are we doing with the goaltending? As this team sits and we have 9 games left, 2 back-to-backs, how many games are Markstrom going to get and how many games is Vladar going to get? Now, if I was coaching, here would be my scenario. At home with Vegas, I'd have Markstrom start. 2 nights later, the 16th, at home to Arizona, I would have Vladar start. 2 nights later in Chicago, I would have Markstrom start. The very next night in Nashville, I would have Vladar start. Back home on Thursday against Dallas, the 21st, I would have Markstrom start. 2 nights later against the Canucks on Saturday, the 23rd, I'd have Markstrom start. And then the 26th in Minnesota, or excuse me, the 26th in Nashville, I would have Markstrom start again. So he'd get 3 in a row. And then that's the last we'd see him till playoffs. I would have the 28th, 29th back-to-back nights, Thursday, Friday night in Minnesota, in Winnipeg. I would have Vladar start both of them. So I have Vladar getting 4 more starts from here to the end. I predict that Sutter will have 3 more starts for Vladar. We'll see. His comment was clear that he's only going to sit guys if they're not healthy. He's also commented and said that he has a number in mind of minutes that Markstrom's going to play, and when he hits those minutes, he's done. I don't know where we stand with that, and only he knows, but it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. Honestly, I think it's a double-edged sword. I think goalies are probably the most critical to get rest. I think I would select a few games down the stretch. I think that Minnesota-Winnipeg back-to-back, that needs to be Vladar's game, and I think that might be a game that those two games would be games I would sit the top line or lines here and there. They've talked about, you know, sitting certain players. I think it might be a good idea to sit certain lines on a night. I think this team's deep enough to do that. That way you don't take away flow and the continuity of the team. I do believe that Lucic should be rested more frequently. I think his age is showing right now with his play, but that's going to be a difficult to see how that all plays out. It'll be interesting. I got a feeling Sutter will just keep rolling them night after night. And I'm not saying that that's not the best choice. Honestly, everything Sutter's done this year has been spot on. So it's hard to argue with what he's done. It'll be interesting to see how this one all plays out. I'm more worried about the goaltenders than I am the players. I do think, though, that I would like to see some of the players sat for those final 2 games on the road, the back-to-back in Minnesota and in Winnipeg. I want this team rested for a long and strong playoff run. Joining Flames Unfiltered now, Kyle Lewis. He's been on the show before. Going to be one of our regular guests. Kyle, good to have you back.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Lots to talk about tonight. Lots to talk about with Flames. You know, we are in kind of like the dog days of the season. Where do you stand right now with how the Flames are currently playing?
Generally quite good. I mean, the record bears it out. couple little hiccups here and there, but nothing I'd be overly concerned about. I mean, I'm excited and confident about a decent playoff run for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, I guess I would agree. There's been some, mostly on Flames Talk Radio, mostly there's been fans complaining about a lack of intensity lately. And I see it slightly, but I don't see it. I would pretty much say it's because it's not, I don't want to say meaningless games, because there's a lot of meaning to these games, but yet we know we're in a playoff spot. So it's kind of the dog days of the season. Do you bear that out? Do you see a lack of intensity, or do you see how do you look at that?
A little more pedestrian lately in their starts. You know, last night they were pretty sloppy and they weren't great in the prior game against Seattle either, but Kelly Rudy, I think, made the comment last night, you know, that's what good teams do in terms of coming back in the third when they have to, kind of thing. So nothing too alarming. A lot of lineup changes too. I mean, a couple in and outs, Michael Stone back in recently. So that might have something to do with it. The group's not quite as consistent, but yeah, like I say, no great cause for concern, just a few hiccups, but you know, the wins are still there.
Yeah, you know, last night was proof of that, because the first two periods I was like, man, this team does not look good tonight. But, you know, I'm not giving them a free pass when they don't look good. But you're going to have those nights in 82 games. There's not a team that's ever won the Stanley Cup where you can't look back at a stretch and be like, you know, we weren't great during this stretch. But, you know, like they talked about last night on the TV broadcast, good teams come through and win these games. And the Flames did just that last night.
Yeah, 100%. And, I mean, better now than in 3 weeks, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, I think a little adversity can be a good thing. And I think with a coach like Daryl Sutter in this case, I think that it is.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that. Now, the Flames do have a few players that have went on the missing list and are not putting up points at all. Lucic comes to mind. Mangiapane did get a key goal last night, but he's kind of been struggling lately. Backlund's been struggling. Coleman's been struggling. The list goes on and on of guys who haven't put the puck in the net. Probably the most glaring, not that I depend on him to do a lot of scoring, but Milan Lucic, I think it's been 19 games. Crazy long time without goals for some of these guys. Is that something that worries you?
A bit. I mean, some of these guys, Coleman in particular, is, you know, he's a playoff type player, so I think he'll come around. Mangiapane, you know, toward pace first half of the season, so it makes sense. He's petered off a little bit, and like you mentioned, scored last night.
He was good last night too. He's actually been good as of late, just hasn't been scoring, but.
Yeah. Like Dubé. I mean, Dubé is getting a few points here and there, but Dubé's been one of the better Flames in the last, I'd say, probably 3-4 weeks.
He has. I thought he really struggled about a month ago, and you're right, in the last couple of weeks he has looked a lot better. I don't know if my hopes were too high for Dylan Dubé or what. I expected more point production from him, but you know, maybe that's just not the player he's going to be for us. And as long as he's doing what he's doing out there now, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I mean, he's a great skater and he's really involved every time he's on the ice. So, I'm not sure what his ceiling is offensively, but I mean, I think he's a great player and a really good fit on the team. Just to touch on Lucic, I've been an advocate of scratching him for a while now, just for whatever reason, and I think it's kind of a Daryl Sutter thing, but certain veterans seem to be immune to sitting in the press box, and Lucic seems to be on that list. And I mean, when he's on, he's great. Like, he's a decent skater for his size. He's a heavy hitter, obviously, but he's been really ineffective, and a lot of plays have died on his stick. And we don't rely on him for a ton of offense, obviously, but he just has not been good for a while, and I think a game or two in the press box would do him well, especially with the playoffs around the corner.
I am with you totally. I you know, he's a big body. He's not the youngest guy. Never been the fleetest of foot, but I'm wondering if he's not tired.
And, well, given his style, yeah, he might be onto something there.
And he's not a young guy. And I've always, I said it last year, I said, you've echoed it, and we've talked about it previous too. It's like, would this guy not be better served if he was like a game off, two games on, a game off, you know, just kind of play with it a little bit there, and you could kind of do that amongst that fourth line and have those guys a little fresher going into the playoffs. And I don't like line disruption, but I think there would be, I think Lucic's age and size and style of play warrants that. And I'm a little bit worried about him lately, as he just does not look the same lately.
No, and I think the same thinking should be applied to him as has been applied to, you know, the defense lately. I mean, obviously Shillington was hurt, which necessitated Michael Stone coming in. Now Connor Mackey's up. Valimaki get in for a game. Like, I think Shillington said he's good to go, okay, for example. But Mackey's, you know, Mackey still played last night. I don't see why they wouldn't do the same thing with the forwards. I mean, they have Ryan Carpenter come in on occasion, which I think is great. But again, same thing, you know, like you said, Bolucci, take him out for a game or two, let him get a little bit of rest. I mean, he's going to be a guy that's, you know, going to be crucial, I think, to a playoff run because how tight the game's going to be in terms of the checking.
I do too. I think he is going to play a key part in the playoff run.
Yeah, and same with a guy like Trevor Lewis. I mean, it's easy to say to armchair coach, but I think when you've got as much depth as the Flames appear to have and they play such a strong team game, and Sutter's even said this, you know, you want all hands on deck. So guys like Lucic should be rotated out. I think it's to the benefit of the player and for the team.
As far as rest goes, that's kind of been a hot topic in Calgary this last week. With the playoffs not, we haven't clinched yet, but we've all but clinched. I believe tomorrow night we have an opportunity to clinch against Vegas. But, you know, you look at this and you look at the core group, and there's been a lot of talk of should we rest guys, should we not rest guys. How do you feel on that whole scenario?
Oh, I'm of two minds, and I think Sutter said this. You want to keep guys playing, right? You don't want to lose any momentum or take them out of the lineup unnecessarily, you know, until the last couple games of the season, right? Which every team will do to avoid injuries and to give them some rest or whatever. So, yeah, I'd be firmly in favor of, because I think there's 10 games left, I believe, 9 or 10?
Nine.
Okay, yeah. So I'd be in favor of resting a few guys. But I mentioned a guy like Trevor Lewis as an example who is going to be really important in a playoff run. Blake Coleman. So I think as the seeding becomes more apparent, they should look to rest some of these guys. And the top one on the list for me for the last little bit has been Jacob Markstrom.
That was my next question. That's been a hot topic, Button. I get the impression that, and he'd probably disagree and tell me I'm stupid, but I feel like Sutter doesn't trust Vladar. I trust Vladar. He's been everything that I wanted in a backup and more this year. I think he's been amazing. And whereas we have 9 games left, I would play him in 3 at least. I'm interested to see what Sutter is going to do. What would you do in this situation?
Exactly what you said. I would go truthfully, depending on the next couple of games, how they play out in terms of, again, positioning, I'd probably go 3 to 5 games. He's been unbelievable when called upon. Like, the 2 games that come to mind, one against Colorado and one in November against Toronto. Like, I don't know what the guy's ceiling is in terms of maybe being a starter someday somewhere, but like you said, as a backup, like, I don't know what more you can ask of the guy. I hope that, you know, putting him in the third last night was an indication of what's to come, because Sutter traditionally has ridden his number one goalie really hard. And in a lot of cases, he had some less than ideal backups, especially his first go around in Calgary, right? So, I'm all for starting, you know, Dan Vladar, like I say, 3 to 5 games. You know, God forbid, but an injury to Markstrom, and you've got a goalie that played, you know, what, 12, 13 games all year. Yeah. As you go through the playoffs, you don't want that. So I think it's important to get some reps in the weeks ahead.
I was watching last night. When he came in, I was happy because I thought, well, it's a message sender, and we need that tonight. But, you know, then I started to think about it a little bit more as the period went on, and I thought, oh, crap, was he scheduled for the next start, and now they're going to use this as his start, and Markstrom's going to be back in net? And I'm like, oh, man. I don't worry that Markstrom's just going to be like spent when the playoffs come, but I do think it's important that, especially down the stretch now, that he gets managed maybe a little bit tighter. And I honestly, as much as I love Daryl Sutter, I don't know that we're going to see that.
It's a great question. Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like he's just going to keep status quo going, and, and run them through. But we'll see what happens. I worry about injuries. That's probably one of my biggest fears. But I think when you worry about them, then they happen more often too. So maybe we just need to get that out of our mind and trust in Sutter, because everything he's done this year has been golden. So that's a good sign.
Well, and that's a great point, because I think when and it's weird as a Flames fan, because, you know, they're not a world beater traditionally as a franchise, but I mean, it's almost like we're looking for something to critique because we don't have much to critique, right? I mean, even the tweak the other night, or a few games ago, I guess, of putting Michael Stone on the second power play with his shot on there. And I don't expect he's in the lineup for long, but with his shot, that power play all of a sudden is effective, right?
I like Michael Stewart. Or Stone.
I'm a big fan of his. When Sutter took over as coach, he was much, much better. But things that Sutter does, they're all working. So yes. For us to sit here, and it's worthwhile debate, no question, but to sit here and question what he does, it's almost like we have egg on our face every time he does something that works.
I know. I know. The goalie thing has been an intriguing one and one that's got me really thinking. And I watch how this team goes how they're expected to play each and every game. And I don't know.
Well, we got to worry about goaltenders too, because we were spoiled with Kiprusoff for years, and mm-hmm. he would get a little worn down with the playoffs. Then finally seemed to get a successor to Kipper and Markstrom. And it was only 2017 when the Flames absolutely lost to the Ducks, because the goaltending was horrific between Brian Elliott and Chad Johnson. So the question of goaltending, especially this time of year, it's a perfectly valid one, because the history definitely supports the argument.
Isn't it crazy how when we went into that playoff series, we were excited and had good feelings about the Flames. And
every game that got swept.
And then we had Elliott in net, and now we're going in with Markstrom. Oh, I can see why we feel a whole lot better.
Exactly. Jeez.
Gaudreau hits the 100-point mark last night. Is this surprising to you or not?
You know, I've kind of enjoyed the ride so much this season, I haven't reflected much on whether or not it surprised me. I mean, he is unbelievably skilled, but I think, like a lot of people, I was surprised to see how well he enjoys playing for Daryl Sutter. And I've heard that from several people. I talked to his uncle Jim quite regularly, and you know, he's made the comment that John really enjoys playing for Sutter. And so I guess to answer your question, yeah, I am kind of surprised. I knew he'd get to 100-point form. I say I knew, but you know, I suspected he'd get the 100-point form somewhere, whether it be Calgary or elsewhere. But to see him score 100 points, 101, I think he's at, plus whatever he gets the rest of the way, to be so strong defensively and to have he's like a plus 54 or something. Like,
I think it's 50.
None of that. Yeah, none of that I ever would have predicted. The 100 points I could see, but this season is like, if he's not your top three for the hypertrophic conversation, then whoever's having the conversation doesn't know what they're talking about.
I agree. I agree completely. And I have to, I was his biggest critic. Last year I had enough of Johnny Gaudreau and his half speed, he just didn't look like he cared. And then when Sutter took over, he got better. And I was like, is this for real? Or is this just like a, just get me through this damn season type attitude, you know? And then this year, he has done everything to just make me shake my head and become a Johnny Gaudreau believer again. Now, he's not off the hook with me until he does it in the playoffs, because sometimes he scares me and in big games and in especially physical games, all of a sudden Johnny Gaudreau is nowhere to be found on the score sheet at the end. But anybody's done. He's even put up points in some big, big games this year against some tough opponents. So, you know, everything that he's done this year has turned to gold, and I couldn't be more happier. He's driving this team right now. I just hope that that continues in the postseason.
Yeah, obviously we all feel that way. But right now there's every reason to believe he's going to be successful, because this obviously the season he's had, but the team's style is so conducive to his success, right? Now I understand the games are going to be tighter. You're not going to, you know, win games 7-3 like they have in some of the season in the playoffs, but you know, if we forget, like in 2015 he was pretty damn good against the Canucks and even against the Ducks in the second round. I mean, he got pushed around a bit, but he was a lot younger.
But he was proving himself, though.
Yeah, and that's true. But I mean, he's had a lot of coaches, and it's easy to critique them now because, you know, they're no longer in Calgary and Sutter's been so successful. But When Sutter talks in his press conferences and media availabilities, he brings it up all the time. It's about the team. It's not about the points. And you see it with all these guys having career seasons. Like, I hated the Zadorov and Goodbranson signings. They've both been great.
They have.
I hated them, right? And I was dead wrong. Trevor Lewis is the same thing. I love the fact that they signed to Lewis.
I hated the Lewis deal. I hated the Lewis deal.
Yeah, and he's been great lately. You know, he's scoring goals, too. It's crazy.
I hated the Goodbranson deal, but I didn't mind the Zadorov just because I remember playing against him when he was in Colorado, you know, during that playoff series, and he was such a pain in the ass. I thought, oh, this guy's going to be great to have.
I was thinking about when he flattened Austin Zarnik.
Yeah, he did, yeah, didn't he?
First game of the season, and Lucic went after him and other teammates, so I've always kind of enjoyed that fact. But
yeah, I do. I forgot all about that. He did crush Zarnik.
Yeah, but I think that there's every reason right now to believe Gaudreau is going to have a strong playoff. And history may not bear it out, but the way that he's playing and the way he's back-checking and
His
patience with the puck, like I think he's going to do well.
He's been great this year. He's been a pleasure to watch. And every night, you know, even last night, he was one of the guys going last night. When the team wasn't going, him and Mangiapane were going. And That's what carried this team through it and got them, you know, to get to the level where they could find success in the third period and get 2 points out of that game last night when it looked like it was dead in the water. So Gaudreau has been a great and yeah, I hope we see that in the postseason. Now, Daryl Sutter. I loved that Daryl Sutter was coming back. I like his style. I'm old fashioned. I think old school, I guess you'd call it. And Daryl Sutter is that in the dictionary. He does handle his press conferences and the way he talks about his players, and not giving them praise. He's been critical of Vladar. He's been critical of, pretty much everybody young on the team. Do you think that is going to wear thin on players eventually?
It's kind of a hard question. I mean, typically, yes, with most coaches, it does. Especially the flagrantly hard-assed ones like the Tortorellas and Mike Keenan's. But Sutter does it the players know what he's doing. You know, he's trying to motivate them, and he's doing it in a way that can be very critical and sometimes comical. But they generally seem to respond. So I think eventually the message wears out. But I think at this point, I don't know. Because the last time when he was – you know, let go before, he kind of let go of the coaching reins first and eventually was shown the door as GM. But as a coach, like, I don't know, the players that play for him really, really enjoy it.
So. And like him after they've played for him too. And so that makes me wonder that, like, you know, he has all these things and he has these different ways of motivating players through comments in the public and stuff. But I wonder what is said behind closed doors. We have no idea. So. Yeah. I wonder if there's not he has a knack for getting people to go out of their comfort zones and play a different way, I guess. And I can't believe when we look at this season and look at how it's come together. We have guys buying in that I thought there was no way they were going to buy in.
Yeah, 100%. I felt the same way. I mean, again, hindsight being what it is, like some of these coaches just, they weren't. I think there's a fine line between a coach that's, you know, gets along really well with his players and is almost too friendly and the ones that are just real hard ass. And Sutter just seems to ride that line really, really well. He's such a great mentor, but he can be so stern on the other hand, right? So again, everything he's doing is working. Like who on this team is having a bad season? We mentioned Lucic of late has been, you know, largely ineffective, but
that is honestly probably the only one. I mean, every guy in the defense is having a career year, and almost every guy in the forward is having a career year.
And those that aren't, if you look at like a Coleman who struggled a little bit to score lately, but his points on the season are exactly where they should be for the type of player that he is. He's somewhere in the 30s, which if you look at his career stats, like he is bang on.
Right on it.
Yeah.
The only time that I thought Sutter was critical of a guy where I was just kind of like, oh man, I don't know if that's fair, is Dan Vladar. He's been really critical of him. But I just keep telling myself, he knows what he's doing. So.
Well, when he sent, Oh, they said, was it Jordan Sigalet he sent out to handle the press conference and Markstrom got lit up one night?
Yeah.
So I don't know if you can, you know, have a more scathing indictment of a player than doing that. So I agree with you about Vladar, but I think back to that, I'm like, man, that was a cold, cold thing to do.
I think Markstrom feeds off it. I do. I think he feeds off that.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I have a hard time understanding, other than that last season in Vancouver, why Jacob Markstrom commanded the term and the salary that he did. Because if you look at his stats traditionally, and I tweeted about this not long ago, his career stats are not that great. Highly touted player, bit of a late bloomer as a goaltender. But he didn't have eye-popping numbers that would have warranted, you know, a six-year, $6 million deal, whatever it is, somewhere in there. But very good goalie, but I mean, it's, yeah, he really made bank off of basically one really solid season. He's always been good, don't get me wrong, but see, he pursued the way he was unbelievable.
See, when I looked at the goaltenders that were available, and I knew Calgary needed and wanted to go out and get a top-end goaltender, my two that I penciled down were him and Kemper, when Kemper was in Arizona, yeah. Of course. And those were 1-2 on who I wanted them to go get, so I was pretty happy with the Markstrom deal, and I thought he was great in Vancouver. I agree with you though, like he hadn't had any postseason success and there wasn't a lot on his resume, you know, yeah. in that mindset, but
it was nice to see them commit to, you know, we did the tandem thing for how many years, like Talbot and Rittich and Smith, it wasn't working at all, right? Like at all. The guys would have, they'd have hot stretches and trade-off starts or whatever, and they would work here and there, but to have them just the fact of committing to a goaltender and saying, hey, this is going to be our guy.
Yeah.
That alone brought some peace of mind, I think.
I agree, and it's so nice. I mean, how many times did we go to the game or turn the television on and sit and go, oh, geez, who's starting in net tonight? How is this going to go? You know? Yeah. And now
far too often.
And now I just feel so comfortable going into every game. It's like, okay, we'll see. I'm more looking at now. I'm looking to see who's starting in net to see how tired Markstrom's going to be down the stretch is what I'm doing now. So.
Well, exactly, yeah. And I think we're all doing that.
Playoffs just, what, 2.5 weeks away, 9 games away. What are your fears going into the playoffs?
I think we've all got similar ones. It's almost not fair because this is a different team under Sutter, and it's a different team character-wise, so I don't want to compare it too much to more recent years where they either missed completely or one and done, right? But the biggest fear is like you mentioned earlier, about, you know, the top players just not performing in the playoffs. Goaltending, you know, as we talked about, just, see, you know, Markstrom's.
Goaltending's not a fear of mine. Injured goaltender is a fear of mine. But I'm not worried about the goaltending. I'm not. I feel very confident that Markstrom's going to come through.
And I can see that too. Just I guess again with a team this strong, you've almost got to look for things to pick apart.
You do, and that's a great feeling, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and I think we talked about this. The last time I was on, it's so strange to watch a Flames team and feel like every game, oh, they're going to win. And if they don't, like, you know, it's disappointing, but it was the second of back-to-backs, or it was a strong opponent, it happens, bad bounce.
Yep.
But generally speaking, it's like you expect they're going to win. And the one thing I don't ever want to come across as is that fanboy, right? That guy who thinks that his team is...
Everything's perfect. Haters.
Yeah, like I don't want to come across like a Toronto fan is what I'm trying to say. So... But I mean, you know, this team is really, really strong, and all the analysts and the pundits and the guys on Twitter, they all say the same thing. Like, this is a team that has a legitimate chance to win a Stanley Cup, and it's just a fact at this point. They really do. Anything can happen in the playoffs. I'm not saying I expect them to win. I'm hoping they do, but I don't really have a lot of, like, really big concerns. Like, the defense as a six-man unit is really, really strong. We've seen, again, Stone come in. Had a bit of a rough game last night, but replaced Gudbranson admirably and add a little offense. Like Connor Mackey came in seamlessly.
Yeah.
There's no weaknesses on this team. I mean, scoring depth, like we've talked about, could be, but
that's gone in streaks too. So
yeah.
We had weeks where we were getting tons of goals from our depth forwards. So it's really, it's crazy, you know, 'cause I keep telling myself this year, because it's like, okay, 32 teams are trying to win this every single year. So I tell, and I've been telling myself for the last couple weeks, just enjoy it. Just enjoy it. Don't quit worrying. Just enjoy this, because, you know, how long will it be until we get to go on another ride like this? And I feel really good going into the playoffs this year. I really do. I mean, I'm worried. I'm nervous. But I'm more excited than anything. I can't wait to see who we play and how it goes.
Yeah. And I'm the same way. I'm preliminarily looking at, you know, making a trip to Calgary for my first playoff game since 2015. And, I feel comfortable maybe even waiting till later end, or maybe going twice if I can somehow swing that. I mean, it's a really strong team, and there's every reason to believe they're going to be successful. And again, a lot of that comes from these signings that I wasn't a big fan of that turned out great, you know. Yeah. Warriors like at Branson, like the intangibles, right, that some guys put too much value in, but Trevor Lewis has been there, Blake Coleman's been there, Milan Lucic has been there. Like, these guys have playoff pedigree, and with the skill they have on top of that, it should be a deep run. There's no reason it shouldn't be at this point.
I agree. Now, the first round opponent. I know it's always careful who you wish for. It looks like Nashville probably has the best, most likely chance of playing us. It could be Dallas. It could be Vegas. It could be, those are probably the three most likely opponents.
Yeah.
Positives and negatives. Who do you fear? Who don't you fear? What are your thoughts when you're thinking about who we could possibly play?
My preference would probably be Nashville. Roman Josi is having an unbelievable season that's not getting talked about enough. So, you know, he's a bit of a, he could be a game changer in a series, but Dallas is really sleepy to me, because their best players are kind of sleepers the last couple of years. So Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin. Vegas, I wouldn't want to play at all. I don't have a lot of faith in that core in terms of making a deep run, because they just don't seem to play a really strong team game. And I don't, you know, there's a lot been said about Jack Eichel, and I know some people who worked in Buffalo, and I don't know that he adds a lot to that locker room, so I'm not sure how that's going to play out, but they're so skilled, and with no salary cap in the playoffs, you know, that Pat's already Stone, Eichel.
Yeah, like, just crazy.
Yeah, so if I had to pick, I'd pick Nashville, but I think there's not going to be a sweep no matter who they play.
There's fears all across the board. I mean, Vegas scares me just because of the talented that's on that team. But if there's a positive to that, I don't think Lehner's that great, and this team is not clicking, even though a few of their key guys are back now, and Stone's back now too. As far as Dallas goes, I don't want to play Dallas, because Dallas traditionally, we just don't fare well against Dallas. We haven't for, and this is a different team, I know, but it just seems like things don't go well against Dallas. Nashville, I probably would be an okay opponent. I get scared because UC Saros has a tendency to be really hot, and that scares me. But Nashville was a team I didn't think would be making the playoffs this year, but I didn't think Dallas would make the playoffs this year either. So
and nobody thought Vegas would miss, and as of right now, there's a very good chance that they will.
There is, and they struggled last night. We're able to salvage a last-minute point against the Canucks last night, and, you know, right now we just need to cheer for the Kings. That's all we can do, is just hope that L.A. takes that final spot. And
yeah, who just lost Drew Doughty for the season, too.
Yeah, but played well last night. I believe they won last night.
Yeah, they've been playing really well lately.
I don't know. That's going to be an interesting race. My gut tells me that one's just going to come down to the final day, and someone's going to sneak in just by a point. And, that'll be exciting. And I'm sure Edmonton's just clinching their butt cheeks, just praying to God it's not Vegas. And that's always a fun feeling.
Yeah. No doubt at all. And it's funny too. Like, I looked at it again today. Like, the East is so set. There's a little bit of seeding to be determined, but it is so clear what teams in the playoffs, what ones aren't. And the West is, the last few spots are still pretty well wide open for at least the next couple of games.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Vegas handles this have-to-win mentality that they're going to have to. Their playoffs are pretty much going right now. LA is trying to survive. Edmonton's been really, really good lately, so they're trying to solidify that second spot, and I feel pretty confident the Flames will lock down the Pacific. So Now we can just sit back and pray we stay healthy and just let whoever whoever comes to us, I guess, comes to us. Every year I wish for somebody in the playoffs, and well, when we make the playoffs, I seem to wish for an opponent, and then we get them, and then we get our ass kicked. So I'm not doing that this year.
Yeah, we'll just take it as it comes, right?
That's right. Well, Trevor, Kyle, it's been fun talking Flames again. Lots to talk about. Hope to have you on right before the playoffs again, if you can manage that into your schedule. And fun to get a playoff predictions from you. I'm looking forward to this playoffs. And you know, last year when the playoffs were going to start, it was so disheartening knowing that we weren't going, that I just didn't have that excitement for the playoffs. And now that our team's relevant and a contender, it's a whole new thing. I'm like planning my whole life around every day. Like, all right, the playoffs are going to start here, and you know, we can't go and do this, we can't do that, you know. So it's going to be a lot of fun and a lot of excitement in the city of Calgary. And this team is, this team looks poised for a long, long run.
Yeah, no, I can't wait. I'll be more than happy to come on for some playoff preview. And like you said, it's just totally different when, you know, with the Flames are not just going to make it, but, you know, look like a very strong team going into it. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And dude, just like you said, I'll be basing my life around those playoff games.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks so much for coming on the show again today, Kyle.
Always a pleasure.
All right, time for a little bit of Flames news. It was a busy week for the Flames. Lots of things happening. Do you know that the Flames have scored or have points against every NHL team this year? It's crazy, isn't it? Every single team in the league the team has taken points from. Wow. Some milestone games last week. Lewis hits his 800th game played. Trevor Lewis and Michael Stone hits his 500th game played. Congratulations to both those players, both warriors for this team this year, and both have been impactful. In times when we've really, really needed them, they've both been there. Gaudreau hits 100 last night and goes past it with his 101st on setting up Tkachuk on two of them last night. And I also saw a stat this week that was really crazy. Johnny Gaudreau has the fourth longest active Ironman streak at 281 games. Now, he's a long ways behind Kessel at 970, Burns at 665, and Draisaitl at 354. But that's crazy to think that Johnny Gaudreau is fourth in the Ironman. That's pretty impressive. Johnny Gaudreau did hit that 100-point mark. Ninth player in franchise history to have a single-season point total over 100-plus. Wow, he's been good this year. In every single aspect, the guy's been has been golden. An injury update, we'll roll through it quickly. Is it starting to heal up here on this team? Shillington, upper body, still day-to-day. He practiced Monday, said that he is good and ready to go. Gabranson, also unknown. He's missed the last three games. He's day-to-day. He did practice on Monday, so that's a good sign. And Yarncrook back in the lineup after missing five. He played Tuesday night. So the injuries are starting to heal up, which is a good time to start healing up. We don't need injuries as the playoffs get closer. Now let's talk about in the divisions. The standings are starting to really, really get wild in that third, fourth, fifth range. Right now, Calgary sits atop with 99 points. Edmonton, 9 back at 90. Los Angeles, 2 back of them at 88. Vegas has vaulted up to 85 points. They've went 6-3-1 in their last 10. Vancouver at 82. They're 6-2-2 in their last 10. Not too bad. Anaheim's fallen off. They sit 6th at 71. San Jose in 7th at 68. Seattle bringing up their rear, 52 points. That team has struggled miserably. So, let's take a look and see where things would shake up. First, I'll give you where the teams sit if the playoffs started today. And if the playoffs started today, the number one seed in the Central would be the Colorado Avalanche. They'd be taking on the two wild card, which is the Dallas Stars. Minnesota would be second in the Central right now, and they would take on the third seed St. Louis Blues. Calgary would be the number one team in the Pacific Division. They would be taking on the number one wild card, which is currently the Nashville Predators. Edmonton holding down that two spot in the Pacific and likely will keep that. And they'll be taking on the third in the Pacific, the Los Angeles Kings. But there's lots that can happen. And with about 8-9 games from both teams, a lot will happen. As LA is stumbling, they're 4-4-2 in their last 10 and headed in the wrong direction. Vegas coming on strong. They've got players back. Mark Stone is back. Everybody seems to be getting back for Vegas. They struggled last night, salvaged a point against Vancouver. They are just 3 points out of a playoff spot to Dallas. I think they're more likely to catch up to the 88 points in LA and get the third in the Pacific than they are the wild cards, as they seem to be somewhat solidified with Nashville and Dallas. Vancouver just 6 out of a playoff spot. I think that's going to be a long shot for them. They do have 8 games remaining. That's a real, real push to get back in. Some other news from the division, as Doug Wilson is out. He has stepped down as general manager of the San Jose Sharks. That is going to be a messy job for whoever takes over. Boy, that team has a ton of long-term, high, expensive contracts to finagle through. That new GM is going to have his work definitely, definitely cut out for him. Ryan Getzlaf calls it a day for the Anaheim Ducks. He will retire after 17 long seasons and a career that has been really, really impressive. And, it's one of those careers where you hated playing against him, but you respect the heck out of how he plays the game. He's hard-nosed every single night. You know he's going to go to war for his teammates. And, he's just a true professional in the National Hockey League, and he's going to be missed in the league. On to a Facebook poll. I did a Facebook poll on my buddies at Flames Hub today, and it was an interesting one. It was just one that got me thinking the night with Connor Mackey in the lineup. Looked really good his first night in. Was okay his next two games. I thought he was okay last night. Wasn't outstanding. But I started to think, and I think he's going to play a key role in this team next year. And so I posed the question, if he continues in the right direction, what top six D-man does he replace? Probably should have been a little clearer when I wrote the question, and the fact that I should have probably put for the future, like next year. But I didn't. My selections, I had quite a few votes, actually. How many did I have? Upwards of 70 votes. 57 of them said it won't happen. And I agree, it won't happen this year. And, 5 said he would take Shillington's spot. 5 said he'd take Gabranson's. 8 said he would take Zadorov's spot. And that's kind of what I should have been a little more clear in the question, but I was kind of thinking, like, as the future goes, what spot is he most likely to take? And I would think that he's going to be in the lineup next year in the top six role. And he's probably going to be in a position where he's going to take the guy that doesn't re-sign here. The guy that's probably the least likely to re-sign here would be Zadorov. I think he will probably warrant a salary that the Flames will be shy away from. I'm not saying I want the Flames to shy away from that. I just think that with the money that's going to get dished out, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to sign all those guys. I really hope that we can. It'd be great if we could keep all those guys in the mix in the back end, because I love our back end right now, but I'm not so sure that that's going to be doable. I do think Connor Mackey has a bright future in Calgary, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out over the next couple years.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, Flames fans, another busy week ahead as we preview what lies ahead. It starts Thursday, April 14th at the Saddle Dome. Those Vegas Golden Knights were working their way into a playoff spot. This would be great for Calgary to take 2 points from. Vegas currently sits fourth in the Pacific, with 85 points. This is a third and final meeting between the two teams. In Vegas, Vegas won 3-2, and in Calgary, Calgary won that game 6-0. This is the final of a three-game set with the division rivals. Arizona comes to the Saddle Dome Saturday night for a Saturday Night Hockey Night in Canada battle. They are currently 8th in the Central, 49 points. Third and final meeting between the two. In Arizona, Calgary won 4-2. In Calgary, Calgary won 4-2. Calgary then hits the road for a few. They are in Chicago on Monday night to take on the 7th in the Central. Chicago Blackhawks sitting at 59 points. Third and final meeting between the two teams in Calgary. The Flames won 5-2. And in Chicago, Calgary came away with a 5-1 win. Back-to-back Tuesday night, Flames are in Nashville, a likely playoff opponent. 4th in the Central, they sit at 89 points. A Nashville team that's been really, really good this year. Second of three meetings, they play again in Nashville on the 26th. Two more trips to Nashville and probably more in the playoffs. Nashville won the first meeting in Calgary this year, 4-3 in overtime. And yeah, it is getting down to the push to the playoffs now is we are just 9 games away from the playoffs. And boy, it is a fun, fun time of year thinking playoff hockey in Calgary. It is going to be so good. This team's been doing everything that we wish for this year. Magic number? Yeah, 1.5. It can happen on Thursday night. Going to be interesting. As this team prepares for their first round opponent, don't pick who it is because we don't want to jinx anything. I'm excited. I'm worried. But you know what? We really need to all sit back as fans. Enjoy this fun run because it's really, really been a good year. We're back next week to talk more Flames hockey. Check out flamesunfiltered.com. Have a great week, Flames fans. Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.